all dependencies fall short of trusting in God. For God has consistently proven himself to be completely trustworthy and dependable. We might lean on the love of those dear to us, recalling the lessons they taught. However, we must never forget that God granted us such relationships only to offer a foretaste of his divine love. Indeed, the power of love and memory is so integral to the human existence that on the night of his passion, Christ Jesus fulfilled the Passover meal, which God commanded the Israelites to sacrifice perpetually to celebrate it in the memory of him now. And to this day, we vividly remember his love every time Holy Mass is offered. It is true. Love always desires the best for its beloved. But when we swim deeper into the essence of love, we find that it simply wishes for the other to be. Love wants us to be alive. Hence, when 1 John 4:8 describes God's nature as love, stating, "God is love," we gain a clearer understanding of Genesis 2:4, which says, "Then the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being." Indeed, God gave man himself, his own breath, his life, his love, so that man can truly be fully alive. For this reason, it is perplexing why those who have been loved into existence would choose to die in sin. In our second reading for the sixth Sunday in Ordinary Time, year C, from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 and 16 through 20, the Apostle Paul is even confused about how, if Christ is preached as raised from the dead, how can some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? Indeed, not only did God love us into existence, he sent his beloved Son, who shares in the divine nature of love, so that through his death, we might be reborn into the body of Christ, which is our true estate of being alive. In our first reading from Jeremiah, chapter 17, verses 5 through 8, the prophet Jeremiah passionately described the conflict between a curse that arises from not depending on God and the blessings that come from trusting in the Lord. He expresses his antithesis by saying, "Cursed is the one who trusts in human beings, who seeks his strength in the flesh, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a barren bush in the desert that experiences no change of season. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted beside the waters that stretches out its roots to the stream." In our gospel reading from Luke, chapter 6, verses 17 and 20 through 26, Jesus sets up a similar conflict in his antithesis of the blessed life versus the life of woe, saying, "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. Woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude and insult you, and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for your ancestors treated the false prophets in this way. Truly, there is nothing and no one greater than God, and no love greater than His. There is no dependence greater than depending on God. Moreover, depending on God is not merely transactional, like relying on an object, such as a car, computer, or microwave to perform its function when needed. Instead, dependence on God signifies right relationship, which we might even describe as a divine song of life and love that nourishes our soul and blesses every aspect of our lives. Yes, the more we consistently rely on Him, the more alive our relationship with Him becomes. And the more alive we are, the less we sin, and the more we glorify Him. The liturgy of the Catholic Mass immerses us in the love and trust of God. Together, sacred prayers, confessions, scriptures, and a memorial sacrifice remind us that God has consistently proven to be trustworthy, leaving us no reason to doubt or hesitate to depend on Him for everything. As if we were children, the liturgy teaches us how and why to stand, how to walk in the union of procession, and how to listen and speak the words of God. The liturgy instructs us on how to eat and drink. It even guides us on what to do when we leave, but never for too long, for we must return to her pedagogy and to be reminded and instructed repeatedly, so that we might develop a living memory of the love God has for us, so that in the space between worship and mission, we might become vessels of the best blessings He has to offer those who are far from Him. This is just one way how the readings at Mass this Sunday connect to the liturgy, and how the liturgy is forming us how to live our lives in the world. Be in the world which you have received through the liturgy. I am David L. Gray. Visit me online at davidlgray.info for more content and context about the liturgical sense of the scriptures.